listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
We sent our interviewer, Beer Mug, out to the Grammy Roundtable. Now, the Grammy Roundtable is what it sounds like. They just put a bunch of radio stations around these tables, and people can walk from table to table and be in 15 cities the same day. They all do interviews. They all sit down. So they sit down in front of Beer Mug, and he does interviews. Now, Beer Mug is not a great interviewer yet.
What? He's the best interviewer. Are you kidding me?
Beer Mug is best interviewer that has ever lived.
Thank you, Kevin.
He was interviewing Kool & the Gang. Now, Kool & the Gang, very popular in the 70s, in the 80s, in a lot of the 90s.
Yeah.
Probably still on the road.
Yeah, and they're still very popular. I mean, you can't go to a wedding without hearing a Kool & the Gang song. You can't turn on your TV for more than an hour without seeing one of their songs pop up on commercial. I mean, they've got Celebration and Ladies Night and Get Down on It and Jungle Book. I mean, they just got a ton of hits.
So why does Beer Mug sit down with Kool & the Gang and sing them one of their own songs, which it turns out isn't one of their songs?
It goes a little something like this. Do a little dance. Make a little love. Get down tonight.
No.
Nope. Why does he do that?
Wow.
Why does he do Casey and the Sunshine Band for Kool & the Gang?
Now, Muggs, I'm not blaming you. I ain't mad at you for not knowing that, because that song was popular before you were born. I don't expect you to know all those songs, but I'm just thinking about what it must be like for those guys. That's their livelihood. That's their career, and you're singing somebody else's song to them. What was the look on their face?
They've been a band for 40 years.
Humiliation was the look on their face.
Oh, that's so sad.
The fact that you could humiliate them.
Yeah.
He continues with this probing question.
Now, what songs do you do?
So now, is his name Robert? Robert Cool?
Ronnie. Ronnie and Cool.
Cool, okay.
And Ronnie and Cool.
Whatever. Cool sits there and lists all of their hits. Celebration, like, is it Ladies Night? Beer Mug finally sings one back to him of their own. I don't know why. Now, Beer Mug has decided it's time to talk about himself.
I, myself, am a drummer. So, and I've been lucky to...
Where do you think he's going with this, Bean? Talking to Kool & the Gang still.
I can't imagine, unless he's got a question about their... He wouldn't have a question about their drum style, because he doesn't know any of their songs, so I have no idea what he's trying to do here.
I've been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad grew up listening to jazz.
All right, where do you think he's going now?
I don't know, but this is more information than Kool & the Gang needs about Beer Mug, I'll tell you.
He loves all sorts of stuff. But that aside...
All right, now what question is he going to ask?
All right, let's play our new game. What the hell is Beer Mug thinking?
Because he talks about himself as a drummer. He talks about his dad and his influence and how many different music styles he's been opened up to.
And then does he say that aside?
Yes.
Then we're putting all of that aside, so forget everything I just bored you with. Now I'm going to ask my question. Lisa, what could he be asking?
Which is not, let me just give you a clue, not at all related to drumming or Beer Mug, his dad, or his dad's musical style.
Well, what the hell was that setup about then?
I'm not sure I know myself. Who are you guys excited to see at the 54th Grammy Awards?
How do you go from that to that? Why do you start by saying, I'm a drummer, my dad exposed me to jazz, who are you looking forward to see? I mean, maybe you were thinking there's going to be a lot of different styles of music there?
My mind is going at the same time I'm speaking.
Right.
To buy time, to pad time.
So you're just, when you're talking about your dad, you have no idea where it's going.
Yeah.
All right. So Kool & the Gang are still in front of Muggs. He's turning the screws to him now. He's really going to embarrass him. He hasn't embarrassed him enough yet. So now he's going to ask him what the participation is in the show, which is nothing. Listen to this.
Are you guys presenting?
No.
Poor Muggs, though. He is, in his defense, he is just throwing anything out there hoping something will stick.
Right. Right. But when nothing sticks, a lot of times what people will do will go, thanks for stopping by. It was really great to meet you.
I felt that I had to use my entire time length with them because, you know, you're given like 2 or 3 minutes.
How much time did you have? 2 or 3 minutes? Yeah. You were 8 minutes into it by now. And then, like, that's not enough. Like, all that's gone before is not enough. Beer Mug starts thinking out loud.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Oh, Muggs. Way to say to the guys, hey, thanks for sitting down. I'm just going to waste more of your time now.
You're going to sit here while I think about anything else to say to you.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Oh, that's
sad. Oh, my God.
That's next to what songs do you do? That's the worst question I've ever heard.
Is he done with Kool & the Gang?
He's got to be.
Nope.
Hollywood Swingin', mm-hmm. was that sampled recently by...
he doesn't know. And then he mumbles and mumbles.
How do they
not
just walk away?
I don't know. You really have to look at those guys and go, how incredibly cool are they?
Very gracious. Absolutely.
To sit across from Beer Mug, who sings him the wrong song, asks them if they're presenting. They're not. Talks about his dad. Has no relevance. Talks about he's a drummer. No relevance. Talks about thinking of something to talk about. And then they sample the Hollywood Swingin', and how does that work?
I could never have imagined when I woke up today that I would feel sorry for Kool & the Gang.
Why did Kool & the Gang not punch Beer Mug?
It's a great question. I would have.
No, we have more, but we don't have time. We'll have to get to them.
So, dinosaurs are still alive today, right? They live among us. That's happening. That's real, right?
The Loch Ness Monster proves that. Yes, that is true. That is a scientific fact.
There is a story in the news that is getting a little bit of a controversy. It is a private Christian school in Louisiana. Lisa, you're going to love this so much.
Okay.
They've got a biology book that says, and of course, they're very much into the creationism at some of the religious schools. Some, some teach both. Some just teach one. This school is very much into the creationism, very much into God put everything on earth here. They are saying since the Loch Ness Monster exists and the Loch Ness Monster is a dinosaur, then there's all sorts of holes in the scientific argument for evolution.
And everybody else is going, hey, when was the Loch Ness Monster? When was that?
I've seen a fuzzy picture or two.
Bean and I were on the lake, the Loch Ness Lake, with a pistol, if I recall correctly, Bean.
Yes, yes, we were. We were ready to take care of it.
Somebody let you have a gun?
Yeah, we were shooting into the Loch
Ness. Oh, my God.
Trying to get the Loch Ness Monster. We could find no proof, but apparently this school has put it in their book, in their science book, as fact.
Do you know how effed up these kids are going to be when they come out into the real world?
Here's what they say. And by the way, this is what I love about Kevin and Bean. There may be only one dinosaur left on Earth. So what do we want to do? Kill it. the book says the Loch Ness Monster has been recorded on sonar from a small submarine, described by eyewitnesses and photographed by others. Nessie appears to be a plesiosaur. So if dinosaurs exist, then science doesn't know anything there is to know about evolution, and creationism wins. That's basically what they're saying. So we wanted to find out more about this because this seems, look, in 2012, this seems a little unorthodox, to say the least. So
you could believe either way. You could believe in whatever you want, like Bean was saying before, but don't change the textbooks of science.
Right. Science and faith are two different things. Darren McClellan is a spokesperson. Mr. McClellan, are you the principal at this Christian school in Kentucky? Is that where you are?
That's right, sir. I am. I am the principal of the Eternity Christian Academy here in Westlake, Louisiana.
Louisiana, yes. Thank you.
Do we have this correct that this has been put in the science book as fact?
That's right. The textbook that we use, which is from Accelerated Christian Education, which is the company that produces our textbooks, that is the Biology 101 textbook we use here at Eternity Christian Academy.
Okay, but you understand, sir. And I understand you have an agenda because you're teaching the Word of God, but there's no scientific proof that the Loch Ness Monster exists, right? You know that it's not been proven that it is real and alive, right?
Well, how do you explain the sonar from the small submarines and the eyewitnesses and photographs of such plesiosaur that has been documented?
They're all shaky as hell. Every piece of information is shaky as hell. There's never been scientific proof, is what we're saying.
Well, I would beg to differ, sir, and we have proof that the man and dinosaur coexist today, so that means that they also coexisted 6,000 years ago when the Earth was created.
Okay. The Earth is million. Never mind. Look, there's Bigfoot photos. There's alien photos. They're all suspect. None of it has been proven to be real. But what I mean is, do you want to intentionally teach children incorrect information? Is that what you consider an education, sir?
No, we are teaching the truth and facts about the power of not only God but of man and God's influence through him. It's like when Dr. Frankenstein brought that dead body back to life. That was God working through him.
That is
proof that God can bring people back to life.
That was fiction. That never happened.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein never happened. That was fiction.
That's not true. I've seen Frankenstein. I saw him at Universal Studios when I was out there. Right. And he walked right past me.
That's a dude
in
a suit.
I personally have an eyewitness to the fact that Frankenstein is around. Okay?
Now, you're not putting that in your textbook, though.
Absolutely. That is proof that reanimation of tissue is absolutely scientifically proven.
Oh, dear God.
What do you mean?
And also that parts of the human body can be changed into money, because the Tooth Fairy once left for me 50 cents for one of my incisors, and it proves that the human body can be translated exactly into currency.
The Tooth Fairy.
That's also in the book.
I don't even know what that has to do with religion.
The Tooth Fairy is in your science book?
Yes, absolutely, because I have personally witnessed that. And I'll tell you something. As soon as I find a pot of gold from that leprechaun, I'm going to change all the textbooks, and they're all going to be filled with the right facts, not what you would have us believe in your so-called liberal education.
I see.
So your facts are better than our facts, is basically what you're saying.
Well, no, because facts are stubborn things, sir, and the truth is that the truth is. That's the truth.
What does that mean?
The truth is what it is, and you cannot defute or refute the truth, and that is what Santa Claus told me.
Okay, so it sounds like last Friday, when the topic came up about what you claimed was my OCD having to do with numbers, it sounded like you were trying to paint it out that I was the freak and that you guys were all normal. And in reality, it's the other way around. It turns out you guys are the freaks for not paying attention to your numbers, and I have lots of support from the listeners.
Right.
On my side.
Support does not mean that it's normal or right.
We were not saying that it was only you, Bean.
Right.
It doesn't make it right because other people sent you emails saying, I'm effed up too.
No, but it does make it normal if the vast majority of people are like me and you're in the minority.
Asperger's is a condition on the autistic spectrum which makes it difficult for a person to make connections with other people.
We got this from Bean, I believe, said the sentence that I've never heard before. Well, nobody likes ugly numbers.
They make him feel icky.
Yeah.
They make me feel icky.
No way.
Yes.
That's normal.
So I wrote down on my little pad of paper, ugly numbers, ? What does that mean?
We were having a discussion about, how did it even come up, by the way, that we were talking about pumping gas?
Yeah, I think somebody called with that one. I don't remember. But
we were talking about pumping gas, and we were talking about if you were pumping gas, if you weren't listening, here's the brief recap. You're pumping gas, and the pump stops, and it's at 22:34. You don't just pull the pump out and pay and go on your way.
Let me just stop you right there. Yes, you do.
No, because then you're driving away with 22:34 on the pump. What you want to do is you want to just squeeze a little bit more gas in there and take it up to, 24:40, better still, 24:50. That's what you want to do.
Why,
and then you feel good about it.
Why do you feel good about that?
Because then it's so fresh and so clean, and you get in your little car and you just drive away, and you feel like all is right in the world. You feel like you've buttoned it up.
What is
I don't have to button up the price of my gas.
I don't understand that.
It's not unbuttoned to begin with. It's whatever it is.
Dear Bean, I feel compelled to write in because I realize we share a special bond. I, too, cannot pump gas without stopping on a whole dollar amount. I'm not sure why. It's something I've done for as long as I can remember. If I don't think I can make it to the next dollar amount because, for example, I was at 21:14 and tried to make it to 22 but accidentally passed that to 22:01, I will, as a last resort, stop at the next 50 point, like 22:50. There's something comforting about the whole dollar amount. Like you said on the show, every time an uneven dollar amount of gas is pumped, an angel cries. I didn't say that, but I wish I had.
All of you that agree with Bean to realize that you agree with Bean.
Right.
I just want you to realize
that was
from Peter.
And that should make you doubt yourself.
Thomas writes in, Bean, I fully agree with you. The gas pump has to end in an even dollar amount. There have been times that I've gone over by a cent, and I'll have to get it to another 99 cents in just to make it even. Tell Ralph and Kevin to suck it. That comes from Tom. Bean, this is Peter from Fullerton. I do the exact same thing at the gas pump. Anything else would be uncivilized. It just goes on
even
and on.
Even with
on
a credit card, though. This is not about change or anything else. Even with a credit card.
When it makes zero difference.
You don't feel like life is in balance unless you land on a 50 cent or a dollar?
It doesn't matter what I feel like. It's what it is. It's what the reality of the situation is.
Right. That's what I mean. What you feel like.
Then we started to get other emails that weren't about the gas. We got a couple on this topic, for instance. I'm with you on the gas, and I also do it when I'm listening to the radio. The volume on my radio has to end in either a 5 or a 0. I don't know why. It just has to. That's from Laurelin.
What?
And by the way, we got several of those from people who say that they only adjust the radio volume in certain amounts. Then we got to people, and this is something we didn't have a chance to talk about on Friday. I told you guys something off the air that I then got a ton of emails from people on the air, which is people who round their tips amounts to even numbers at a restaurant.
Which is rude beyond words.
Yes.
That's rude.
Because you're
giving
the server an uneven amount. So you're giving them change.
If you get something for $12 and you want to make it $15, But that's not quite the tip amount or whatever. It's $12.60 or something. So you put $2.40 of a tip on there to make it 15?
Of course. Obviously.
Okay, so then the server gets $2.40 as a tip?
Obviously.
Just so you can feel good about it being a round number?
Now, I never – this is important. This is an important distinction. I never shortchange the server. If anything else, she gets additional money in order for me to round it
up. She gets a whole extra 40 cents? That's
perhaps.
Awesome.
But I'm saying I don't cheat her.
15%. Okay, fine. That's
I don't cheat her.
That's
but
valid.
She does get more. But I want my final bill for that meal to be $11 or $16 or $28 or whatever it is, and I'll adjust the tip so that that amount comes out to an even dollar amount.
Here's what I think the difference is. I have a life.
I have a life,
and
too,
but
I'm just
do.
I'm spending it on important things while
yes,
you're just
you
going
are.
All willy-nilly, just letting
you're
your numbers
spending
fly
it on
where they may.
Things. I filled up my car over the weekend, Bean. This is going to drive you crazy. I just put the little automatic thing on. I just let it go till it clicked, and then I took it out and put it in and drove home.
But how did you zip up your life?
I was
or
super.
Button up your life.
My life was buttoned up, and it was zipped up or whatever it needed to be. I was perfectly fine.
So are you saying you don't have OCD or Asperger's?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Just because other people have OCD doesn't make you in the right, Bean.
I am saying that you are a savage, you're uncivilized, and you shouldn't be allowed out with the regular population. Look,
just because there are other serial killers out there doesn't mean you can't go kill people and go, hey, there's other ones.
Let's talk
people
to Christine.
People eat their hair. That doesn't make it all
That's
right.
That's correct.
Let's talk to Christine online, too, and here's what we want to do. We want to hear from people who are doing it right. We want to hear from people who have a number
system.
And by
doing it right, you mean obsessed with numbers, which means special needs.
You've got a number system in place that keeps the universe in order. You don't just throw numbers around willy-nilly without concern or care like Lisa and Kevin do. We want to hear from you if you've got a system, whether it involves your alarm clock, the volume on your radio in your car, your bank account, whatever it is. 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear what you're doing with the numbers, and let's take Christine real quick before the break.
All right, Christine, hi.
Hi. So I have a number thing with my savings account.
With your savings account.
Yeah. So interest goes in. It could be like 34 cents. It literally will drive me crazy. I can't even round to the next dollar. I have to round to the next $50, $25,
or okay,
whatever.
Wait,
do you hear
wait.
That, Bean? It drives her crazy.
Okay, wait. Let me just see if I get this straight. So you're saying if your money in your savings account earns interest, you notice that it's 34 cents, you have to add money to your account to make sure that it's even?
I used to work at a bank as a teller, and my friends knew this. So my other teller friends, what they did for about a month is they would get their change, deposit it to my savings account.
Of course.
And I didn't know at all.
Of course.
I was losing my mind like about two times a week.
See, this, I don't know, call me crazy. This doesn't seem healthy.
It isn't.
Bean adjusted
Christine,
to me.
Well, let me ask you a question, because Bean's trying to make it sound like, oh, we're right, everybody else is wrong. You know you're crazy, right?
I know it's a weird thing that I do have, but I mean, I went to school for accounting.
I'm going
to
restate the question. You know that you are crazy, right?
There's something wrong
that
bothers you. Okay. You know, my friend that hates the word moist can't get up unless the clock, I think it's either a 02 or 03. The number has to end in a 2.
Well, like, I have a thing like that, too, where I know my snooze goes off for 9 minutes.
Right.
So I have to set my alarm for 16, so I know I can get up by 6:25.
Because
I snooze once.
Just like my friend.
I'm with Christine. I think she's doing the right thing.
I think she's only
the sane one in this conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christine. We appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
All right. What are you doing with your numbers? What kind of systems do you have in place? Because it's important. And these people on the show with me need to learn a little something here today. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next right after this on the Kevin.
All right. We're talking to crazy people on today's Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ at 23 minutes after 8. I just want to hear you say,
there's nothing crazy about it. It's the way to go.
I just want to hear you admit that perhaps it's a little weird.
I don't think it's weird. I think it
at
makes
all.
Sense.
You don't think it's weird at all.
Forbidden Kitten writes into the Kevin Bean Twitter account, if Bean is weird, then I'm crazy. Bank accounts, radio, gas, homework, everything needs to be odd numbers.
Yeah, she's crazy, by the way.
Tom writes in, I hate this topic you guys are doing because you're making fun of exactly what I do. I do even numbers at the pump. My radio has to have the volume on an even number. I make my tips out so the dollar amount is even. Tom, a recently depressed from the topic listener. It's the first time we've ever heard that. All right, let's take some more calls.
Is this 1-800 OCD?
I don't know. I don't have OCD, by the way, so I don't know anything about OCD.
You're just saying that. I don't even believe that.
I don't have OCD.
I don't think you believe it either.
I don't.
It's OCD.
Have something.
It's the same people that have to wash their hands 3 times, or they have to lock the door 5 times before they go to bed, or they can't step on the cracks in the sidewalk. It's all
I don't step
same
on the cracks in the sidewalk either.
See, it's all OCD.
But that doesn't mean I'm OCD.
Of course
it means I don't step on the. I don't. Look, I don't know about you. I don't want to break my mother's back, okay? Maybe you don't care about stuff like that.
God.
I do. Let's talk to Priscilla. She's on line 2. She's got a new one here at 1-800-520-1067. Priscilla, we're talking about people who, you know, unlike the people in this room, they know what to do with a number.
Well, I have a thing about the number 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my favorite number since I was a kid. And everything has to equal a 9. So I do everything in 9s. My gas thing has to equal a 9. I wake up
wait, wait,
at 6:30.
Wait. You mean your gas thing, you mean the total.
To equal a 9. It's not the last one.
Okay.
Everything has to equal a 9.
So you get up at 6:30 because of 6 and 3.
Okay. Or 7:02 or 7:20 or 6:39.
Wow.
But it has to
Bean,
equal
she's
a 9.
Even crazy for you.
Hold on. I think I'm falling in love. Don't cut her off. Go on, Priscilla.
Well, so it was my favorite number since I was a kid, and then as I got older, I found out that 9 is the number of completion and before another cycle starts.
Right.
And that it's some sort of magical number, and so I do everything.
Did you have 9. A favorite number as a kid?
Yeah, it's 9.
Oh, okay. All right. You hadn't mentioned that 3 times.
There you go. All right.
Thank you very much for the call, Priscilla.
Okay.
Needs to get herself the White Album by the Beatles and just do nothing but listen to number nine. All right, let's try Matthew. He's on line 4. I don't think we've talked about temperature yet. We haven't talked about what's on the thermometer, but I think that's what Matthew's got for us on line 4.
Hey, Matthew.
How you doing, guys?
Tell us your craziness.
Hello, Lisa May, by the way.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello. I'm actually in my car right now. The thermostat has to be set to an even number. I have like a digital readout in my car. So right now it's at 68.
I see. So you would have to go from 68 to 70.
Correct.
Or 72 or 66. It has to be even.
Correct. Okay. It cannot be odd.
Are you aware that that's a little weird?
I get some flack for it from my wife.
No, but I'm saying, are you aware yourself? Are you aware within yourself that 68 and 69 are relatively the same thing?
I cannot tell the difference. I just like the way it looks.
Okay. All right.
What do you think that's about? Like, why do you think you developed that way?
I don't know. And it doesn't pop up in that many other places. Like, I do the gas thing, I'll admit, but I don't do the tip thing. I don't do anything with my alarm clock. It's kind of just
this. Sounds to me like you got a lot of work to do. Sounds to me like you got some
I have a lot
things
of
to look into.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
That's a good question. Thank you, Matthew. We appreciate the call. Hey, let's talk to Kelly. Kelly is a special ed teacher and is going to diagnose us, I think.
Uh-oh. Kelly?
Yes?
First of all, do you have this number thing?
A little bit.
Okay.
All right. What do you make of it? What's going on?
Well, I'm a special ed teacher. I work with autistic kids on a daily basis. And I've come to find out that the normal people, quote unquote, that I work with and other people that I encounter in my life have this number thing. And it kind of creates like a balance in people's lives. And with autistic kids, you know, kids that are actual special needs, like you guys were talking about before,
right.
They have no problem leaving things completely uneven with numbers.
So what you're saying is if I have a lot of these numbers things that we're describing, I'm the normal one.
I believe so.
Exactly.
No, I reject that totally.
But Kelly has the same thing that you have.
Of course, she's justifying her behavior.
Bean, that's like you diagnosing yourself and saying you're fine, what you're doing.
I'm completely normal. Thank you, Kelly. I agree with your diagnosis 100%, and you are a professional. All right, let's try Cheryl now. Cheryl is on line 5, and she actually has OCD. I assume she has been diagnosed with this. Is that right, Cheryl? The doctor told you have OCD?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And how does that manifest itself for you in terms of numbers?
Well, and I have a lot of things with numbers. Like, I can't get out of bed unless it's a 5 or a 0.
Right.
I'll keep laying in bed. The same thing with the gas pump. I'll put in cash most of the time because then I know it's an even number.
Oh, so you'll give them $30 or whatever, and then you know it's an even number, and that's all you can put in.
Exactly. Because even if you use a card, they end up adding a surcharge to that. And so you have to think about, well, what's it going to be once I have the surcharge in?
Surcharge being you never thought of the surcharge.
Because I don't see that.
You've been doing it wrong all along.
No, I only see the numbers on the pump. I don't see I don't see what's on the statement.
She knows about the surcharge.
It does. It comes up on your card, and so you have to think about that, too. And so because I have OCD, the difference is that it has to do with compulsions and obsessive thoughts. And so if you have these obsessive thoughts about what you're doing and that something bad is going to happen if you don't do this, then that's the difference between just having, you know, a habit. So it's just a habit to go even numbers, or having an obsessive compulsive disorder.
So, Cheryl, you've been diagnosed with OCD.
Yes.
You've been listening to Being Describe his number thing. What do you think?
I mean, it sounds like it could be a symptom of OCD because he said he feels gross if he doesn't do it that way.
Right.
If I'm uncomfortable if I get up at a time that is not right in my head.
Yeah. Nobody wants to feel icky. But I will tell you, I spoke with a special ed teacher once who told me that I was one of the normal
ones. The last caller. With that.
All right, Cheryl, thanks for the call. So we'll leave it there. So start getting on the stick with your numbers, you guys. Okay. Quit being so sloppy.
Is that what the message is? Lisa and I need to start. All right.
All right, let's do it.
What's up, K-Rock? Listen.
And you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about a new round of
that tweet?
Bean!
Ugh. I'm with you, whoever you are. I'm telling you.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Ralph?
Hi, Ralph Garman.
And this is a batch.
Really?
What are you talking about?
He brought it strong.
We need a disclaimer. Listen at your own peril, people.
Here's what happens.
You're eating breakfast, your stomach may curdle, all kinds of things could happen.
I don't broadcast my tweets on the radio. If people want to hear what I have to say, they can follow me on Twitter.
Right, but if they're bad enough, then we make Chip look at them, and then she collates them for us, and then we go ahead and highlight what bad tweets they are.
What's your complaint this time around?
Sometimes it's just one decision that takes you from being an interesting person to being a person of interest.
You must have felt so damn clever when you came up with that.
Wordplay!
I nailed it.
I do love wordplay.
Come on.
Wait! There is one professional skier named Lindsey Vonn and a different one named Lindsey Van? Uncool.
Thank you for saying that. I agree with you,
sir. That tweet.
Bean.
What are the chances that
that tweet.
These two little blonde girls
that tweet.
Born a month
that's
apart
that tweet.
Would both grow up to be...
That's that
tweet.
Here's the thing.
I'm just saying crazy.
We don't need further explanation.
Right, but I'm not explaining. I'm asking, how am I supposed to, as a casual winter sports fan observer, how am I supposed to keep Lindsey Van and Lindsey Vonn straight when they're both professional skiers?
Okay, first of all, you don't watch professional skiing.
Well, the Olympics,
that's
when the
first
Olympics
of all.
But when the Olympics come up, then you
Second
do.
Second of all, what you do when you come across that piece of information is you go, oh, that's interesting. And then you don't sit down at the keyboard.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Planned on doing any boogieing or oogieing at all tonight. Are you certain there are no exceptions to the rule?
Listen to him laugh. Bean doesn't laugh.
Come on, no. Ralph.
He hates jokes.
That's your
tweet.
Bean.
The Taste of Honey song. Come on, there are no exceptions. Come on.
That's your tweet.
Bean.
I would say to you, sir, come on.
Yeah, that's our answer as well.
Sitting on the couch with my imaginary friend Regis Philbin right now, watching the Notre Dame game, like we do.
Why would you?
Because I love Regis.
That's that tweet.
As you know, and he's one of my favorite people in the world. I was thinking how awesome it would be if I were watching the Notre Dame game, because he's an alumni of there and he loves that school so much. I was thinking how much fun it would be to watch college basketball with Regis.
What but the alas, F is going on in your life? What's alas, going on in your life?
It's not possible, so I have to just imagine.
Who has those thoughts?
This vacation just went into overdrive as I poured a little lemonade into my glass of iced tea. Hashtag Arnold Palmer. Hashtag beast mode.
Come on.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
He tweeted that he made himself an Arnold Palmer.
Because you know how crazy I get when I'm on vacation. And I think it was like after 9 p.m. when I did it, too. So it was just like everything was off the rails that week.
That's that tweet.
Bean!
And lastly.
I don't know much about this African guy in the news, but has anyone even looked for him on Coney Island?
Oh! His name was Coney. It was everywhere. He was...
Wow.
Oh, man.
Listen to how hard Bean is laughing at
this.
Right. Wow. Most watched video on YouTube. Everyone knows, gets it.
His name is Coney and there's a place called Coney.
Oh, my God!
You can't possibly be laughing this hard.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean and Dean.
Thanks for that tweet,
Bean.
This is not supposed to reinforce what you do.
Oh my! I need to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm on the right path.
That's the opposite result.
I'm gonna go tweet right
do
now.
Wrong. Less.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Final Kevin and Bean Show. For Christmas vacation. Got a lot of business to take care of, including helping you make some safe choices if you're buying presents for kids. Everybody has kids on their list, either your own or friends, your family, neighbors, whatever. And every year they come out with a list, Lisa, of dangerous toys. And I'm always surprised year after year because toys seem to be recalled or blacklisted or pulled off shelves for the same reasons every year. Like, how do they keep getting made and approved and put on the shelves if they've got the same problems as they always
have? The piece is too small and a kid could swallow it.
You know, this past year, the Buckyballs were finally discontinued. Buckyballs. You know what those are? Those little – it's like they're – I'm sure you played with them, Beer Mug. It's like a bunch of magnets that you put together, and you can put it in a whole bunch of different shapes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with those? You can swallow them.
You can swallow them, yeah. And kids have been playing with Buckyballs for years and years and years, and now no more Buckyballs because they say they're too dangerous to be sold to kids. And sometimes, I guess, as adults, we just don't look at the things that can go wrong with those purchases for the little kids. And that's why as a public service each year on the Kevin and Bean Show – we get the information out to you before you do most of your shopping. Dr. Clyde Brennan is on the line. He is with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for the time today, sir.
No, thank you for having me on, Doctor. No, it's a pleasure to be here again.
Dr. Brennan, I don't know if you heard before we brought you on. Why do the same types of problems keep happening with toys year after year after year?
I only wish I knew. It's unbelievable that these toy manufacturers, who supposedly have nothing but fun for the interest of the children, allow these dangerous things to be able to fall into the hands of small kids.
I agree. I mean, the lead levels is something we hear about every year. We were just talking about ingestion hazards. I mean, toys that have little tiny parts that a kid could easily break off and swallow and choke. I mean, it just seems like bad planning if you're talking about toys for children.
And some of them are just poorly conceived, like the Incredible Hulk Avengers Smash Fist. Turns out kids are putting these giant green fists on and punching each other with them.
And isn't that the point of the toy, though? Isn't that why you sell those?
That's what I'm saying. It's a bad idea to
bad
sell
idea.
Something for kids to punch each other in the face with.
Yeah, they just get hurt. I guess you're right. That makes a lot of sense. Well, what should we be looking for? I know, you know, some of the things that I've already seen on the news are, you know, some of the very popular, you know, toys that are out there. But which ones should parents be avoiding right now?
Well, if you look at our list, our 27th annual Trouble in Toyland report, you'll find lots of toys that are inappropriate or dangerous for children on many levels. For example, the Little Driver drag race set. Very, very wrong.
Okay, what's the deal with that? I'm not familiar with that.
But the drag race set is just a box with fishnet stockings, a bustier, and a set of Nikes in them. You dress up as a woman, and you just race your friends. And that's not the kind of drag racing I grew up on as a child.
That's probably not what the kids think when they see those words on the box either. You're right.
Wrong. And we're talking about choking hazards. Choking hazard is a big problem when it comes to toys for kids.
Yes.
That's why I think I cannot recommend Fisher-Price's My First Noose.
Certainly not.
It's just a large rope with a knot in it that goes around your neck.
Why would somebody buy that for a child?
I know. Can you imagine? What are they thinking?
It's a terrible idea.
You know, the characters for children are very popular.
Yes, of course.
Like Dora the Explorer.
Yes.
A lot of those toys are just inappropriate. like Dora Explores Her Bisexuality playset. I thought that was wrong.
No, that's not age appropriate for
it's
the little kids to play.
A pair of little Birkenstocks and two tickets to a Lilith fair.
Good reference, Doctor.
Thank you. Also inappropriate, in my opinion, are some of the toys that Hasbro's putting out with the Elmo character. All things considered, what's been going on this year, couldn't they take a Christmas off, don't you think?
Yeah, what's going on with Elmo? I mean, that's a very popular toy for decades now.
Three new Elmo dolls are available this Christmas that I believe are dangerous for children. Roofie me, Elmo. Transport me across state lines, Elmo.
Oh, my God.
No. Nobody needs that.
Get me drunk and examine my prostate, Elmo.
Oh, see, that's not an appropriate gift at all for a child.
That's what I'm saying.
People have got to pay attention more, don't they, Doctor?
And also, kids love celebrities, and they love TV shows, and anything they can see on television, they want to mimic. But I still believe the Whitney Houston bath time playset is wrong.
Don't give them that.
Just a bathtub and an eight ball.
No, that's wrong.
I feel the same way about the Swamp People alligator luggage. I know Swamp People's a popular show, but I bought this to look at it, and it's just a suitcase, so when you open it, there's a live alligator in it.
Okay, that's, again, inappropriate for children. I
lost a testicle.
I'm sorry. Come on, I'm the only one.
That's good. The song needed that. You're right about that. That was a good choice. Yeah.
Can I not hear you for some reason?
No, you can hear us.
Talk to me. Okay, good. 106.7, sure. K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I rarely say this, but the next half hour of the Kevin and Bean Show could change your life. Thomas Lennon, Robert Ben Gurant, join us in studio. Am I saying that right, Robert? Is it Gurant?
That's
is that correct?
Close. It's pretty close.
Thank you.
See,
now I'm telling you
can't hear him. No.
That was actually the sexier version of Ben's name.
Grab the
Ben's mic's not working?
No,
grab
the
yellow
one.
We got this one. We have so many mics in here.
There you go.
Have a new book out called "Writing Movies for Fun and Profit: How We Made $1 billion at the Box Office," and you can too. And they're going to tell us how they did it and how you can do it. Of course, the easy answer is just buy the goddamn book.
Ben Stiller keeps a lot of that $1.4 billion.
Gets most of the billion. It turns out.
Okay, how much of the $1.4 billion do you guys have?
Very small percentage of the billion. You get. It's written in the book. It's like, what is it?
I didn't get to that part.
Is a lot of money.
It's still pretty good. Any percentage of a billion is okay.
I was about to try to make it sound kind of sad.
No.
Like a boo-hoo.
Any percentage of a billion is all right.
Most people in the world don't have access to clean water. I'm like, shut up.
You're okay.
All right. I made the confession first thing this morning when we were discussing that you guys were going to be on that I felt ignorant about this, but I had no idea that you guys as a screenwriting duo had been this successful. I mean, you know, I know you guys from Reno 911, obviously, and I knew that you'd been involved in other things. I've seen you and read about you and other things. But I didn't know you had this thing on the side where you were writing these movies where you're cranking them out and making millions and millions and millions of dollars. I was shocked.
Most people don't know it. It's a weird double life that we have.
Yeah.
You're secret writers.
Exactly. We've gone to meetings, movie meetings with people, and we have the Reno 911 mustaches.
Right.
And they look at us.
And they just think we're like Hollywood party guys.
Yeah.
You know.
They're like, hey, you guys are doing mustaches
now.
You guys
got some
eat. Mustaches.
Right.
Nice. As if we showed up on roller skates, it'd be the same thing. It'd be like, all right, that's what people are doing now.
It's
like,
right on.
No, but
yeah, they don't know.
A lot of people don't know. Well, it actually was very weird. There's a very sort of logical path from it, which is we used to do that sketch show called The State on MTV. Mm-hmm. And in The State, we just used to fight each other all the time. We would throw chairs at each other and like...
The very nerdy Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a nerdy Leonard Skinner with only chubby white guys. Well, Leonard Skinner's only chubby white
They're
guys.
They're only chubby white guys, too. No beard.
Leonard Skinner with no beard.
More teeth.
Yes. But then we, you know, and it got us like in this mode of like having your material get attacked all the time by other people.
Cranking out
material. Defend yourself and having to write like all day, all night just to get one thing through the filter of these... 10 other jerks who
comedians
are trying to
hate you.
Take you down. And it turns out that was accidentally like perfect practice for the movie studio system.
Being treated like garbage for 10 years by our friends prepared us for Hollywood.
So,
so
everyone needs to get like 10 angry friends?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
For 10 just years?
Have
and
them sit around in a circle. They all blow cigarette smoke at you.
Okay.
And they tell you and they tell you how everything you just thought of has been done before better by Monty Python.
Yeah.
Show business.
And then you're ready.
It's true.
It has been
done better by those guys.
Yeah, that's true.
The guys have written, of course, the Night at the Museum movies. That's got to be responsible for a big chunk of the billion.
That's a lot of it,
Balls of Fury, The Pacifier. Mm-hmm. You got a long list of films.
If you're saying there's some real turd balls in there, the answer is yes.
We agree to sir.
No, but I'm saying you admit as much in the book. I'm saying the point is moneymakers is what you write. You guys write moneymakers, and this is what's fascinating is the book is not about how to write a screenplay as much as it is how to navigate if you have written a screenplay, like what to do next, like how to understand how Hollywood works and meetings work and those and the math works.
Right.
And that's the book that I haven't seen before.
There are plenty of books out there on how to crack your great story, which I would argue no book can teach you how to crack your great story. You got to figure that out yourself. But this is the business. This is what it means
crack
to how you
story.
By the way, do a little crack, you're going to come up with some pretty good stories.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Nice, Charlie Sheen.
Hey, that's a good tip.
Let me ask you this question, and that is, when you're trying to break into any aspect of the entertainment business, whether you want to be the next American Idol or you want to be an actor or you want to write screenplays, rejection, how to handle rejection. There are people who have been plugging away, knocking on doors for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Is there a point at which you should give up and find a new dream?
Never give up.
Never give up. Because here's the thing. Now, Ben and I have had, as of this year, I think we just made our 10th movie, either 9th or 10th film that got made.
Okay.
That means we've written together probably 35, 40 films, at least.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people ask, I think, and this is one of the bigger secrets of the book, I think most people have about the same amount of very funny, very scary, very interesting material in them.
Yes.
But we're writing
all the time.
10 times more than you.
Yeah.
So we're, like, we both have, probably all of us have the same amount of good material, but our pool to pull from is so big that eventually you can get some of it through. And you have to be like that.
Rejection doesn't hurt as bad if you have 10 other things you're working on at the same time.
Does it always happen to you when you write a movie that you think is good and then nobody will
bite? Oh, God. All the time.
Really? Even with your success.
It's mostly disappointment.
Yeah.
Even the ones that go well, then go to the comments section.
Oh, my God. Be angry, angry nerds.
Look at the comments section about yourself.
I've written
seven. You guys make it sound glamorous.
It's wonderful. Oh, it's not glamorous, but the money's good.
Again, the whole point is it's awful. The money's really good.
Okay. All right.
That should have been the other title. Writing Movies for Fun and Profit. It is available in bookstores or online everywhere. You can meet the guys, by the way. They're going to be speaking on this topic and, am I right, signing autographs at the Romans Bookstore. That's tomorrow afternoon at 4. That's the world-famous Romans Bookstore on East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. So that's at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yep.
You can meet Thomas and Ben. They are our guests in studio. We've got many more questions. We return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and You Can Too. A hilarious and useful new book from a couple of guys in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Thomas Lennon, and I'll just say Robert Ben Guerin this time just to mix it up.
That's much less fancy. That's good.
You can meet these guys at the Romans in Pasadena at 4 o'clock tomorrow. They'll be speaking on the topic and getting books signed. Let me ask you a big picture question that I'm sure you get asked all the time. The average Joe on the street, me, for instance, average moviegoer USA, gets the impression that most of the movies that are made are terrible and that the studios know that they're going to be terrible, but they make them anyway, and it's almost impossible to get anything interesting or fresh or new on the screen.
Okay,
is that
accurate? What was your question?
Yeah, that's exactly accurate.
Is that how it works?
The studios did it, so why? No, that's true. Yeah, agreed.
That's very true.
Correct,
why?
I would say.
Why?
Ding, ding, ding. Correct,
why?
Correct. We have a big chapter on this in the book, and they usually don't know that they're going to be terrible until about 2 weeks before they start shooting.
Yeah, and then here's and the problem is,
and then it's too late to pull the plug.
And then it's too late. Here's generally the answer, which is if you want to do something and mess it up really badly, do it with a committee.
Yes.
Get a bunch of people. First off, throw a ton of money at it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Throw as much money as you can at
it.
A lot
of money.
Have 50 very rich people with their own agendas and opinions.
Yeah.
Put them into a committee.
Yeah. And then this committee, so you've got producers, you've got, you know, development people at the studio, you've got somebody who optioned the book 10 years ago, who won't give up the rights, you've got
crazy movie stars, crazy directors.
The short version is committees and development is the reason. And in our book, it's the chapter is called "Why Do Most Studio Movies Suck Donkey Balls?"
And is that, that's a good
is the actual
and the answer
the
is
and the answer is basically development
because of the system just guts the hell out of it.
It's, you know, and it's crazy because like you'll we have been brought in to rewrite movies. They're like, look, we start shooting in 2 weeks,
and they say, here's a
and
movie
they, and they say this that we love
we
the
like
idea
the premise
of this movie.
We
it's
hate
great.
Every word, every scene, everything that happens.
Wait, and they're starting to shoot in 2 weeks?
Yes,
they
yes.
already have all the locations.
So they say, can you write? Okay, we've got to be in a gymnasium.
They've already rented. They've already built sets. They've already paid the actors.
Right.
They've got to go. And
right.
they love the idea of a chipmunk that runs a basketball team.
Yeah.
They just hate the script.
They just hate the script. You know.
This
you know,
is what
and
happens
then,
regularly? Or just
no, this is the norm.
Exception.
By the way,
the norm.
We're talking about big studio movies. Our book, people are like, you can write beautiful art movies.
Of
That's
course.
True. We
of
don't
course.
Do that. We don't know anything about it.
Exotic Marigold Hotel was great.
I love that
movie. There's no way that a giant committee at a major studio would approve a movie with Tom Wilkinson playing stickball with a bunch of Indian kids. No. And it's great.
And it's amazing.
It does seem like you guys are absolutely right about this, I think, because the fewer creative people involved, if they're the right people, makes the purest and the best. I mean, look, the best stuff that's coming out right now, look at what's in the theaters right now. Wes Anderson. There's a guy who's in his own universe doing whatever he wants.
Nobody
and his
tells
movies
him
are
what
always
to do.
Great.
He is not.
Your friend Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
They just hand it to him and say, you're the expert. You
he
do
doesn't
it.
Go
Paul
ask.
Thomas Anderson. Yep. Same thing. Those are the movies that we get excited about.
You
that
guys.
We look forward to seeing. Not the ones with 40 people
right now. We rewrote Rebound, that Martin Lawrence movie.
Yeah.
He like beats up a chicken. That's the other thing about there's the movies we write, then there's the movies we rewrite. That's like the secret, the real secret.
And you just do that for the cash, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do we do that for the love of Martin Lawrence? Come on. How many movies do you rewrite?
A lot.
Yeah, and are they savable?
Almost,
you know.
You know, usually if you can add, like, if you can make one or two things better. The great thing about that is you're sort of adding a clown nose to a cancer patient.
I think I saw that.
Hey, there you go.
That should be the name of the book. Did you write that Robin Williams movie, too? Was that you?
No, that was before our time. But,
oh, we wish.
Yeah. We're trying to pitch a sequel right now. I can't even remember which one it was. But there was a movie that we rewrote. They said, hey, we're going to give you guys credit on this movie.
Like, oh,
and
we No.
Guys, we're okay.
It's
okay.
Don't let anyone know we had
it. No, we're all right.
Even at your level, and you guys are known certainly in Hollywood circles as being successful screenwriters, do you still just slap yourselves when you walk out of some of these Hollywood meetings where the guys are just so clueless, you can't believe how much of a waste of time you just
experienced? My favorite quote, and I think it was Zach Penn, who's a great writer and a friend of ours, told us this. He said he had turned in his script to a movie studio.
Yes, this
is true. And then he called one of the mid-level executives on Monday to say, hey, what'd you guys think? I know. And the executive said, I don't know what I think. I'm the only one who's read it.
Is that true? Or is that
that's
absolutely
that's
true?
Or is that like I don't just, know what I think.
That sounds
I'm
like
the
a story
only
to
one
prove
who's read
a point.
It.
That was him accidentally telling the truth.
Yes,
that was
him
accidental
accidentally.
Truth,
which was like,
wow.
My boss will tell me later what I think.
I
think when you're inside, though, when I walk out of a movie and the movie was good, it's like a miracle.
Yeah.
Like I'm shocked. Like the Avengers, I love the Avengers.
The Avengers was awesome.
And
I have
all,
no
and,
idea
and,
how
I, like,
that happened.
I like how it's a miracle from God. Like that movie has all these movie stars and it cost all this money, and yet.
It's
it
great.
Was still very entertaining.
Yeah.
Like that's shocking.
That rarely happens.
It very rarely happens.
So much
sticking
money.
The landing is well. You know, it's just hard. There's a lot of people in
there's
the
a
middle.
A lot of people.
There's
you know,
so
and
many moving parts.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
It's destined to be to break your heart.
In your book, you say probably the reason for this is that there are a lot of people who have jobs that they don't want to get fired from.
That's
like,
the main
that's
motivation.
That's the overriding
in
thing. Mm-hmm. It's just I don't want to get fired. I don't want to go out on a limb because then I'm the one that might get cut.
And part of not being fired is so your movie star, you get a big movie star to do the movie that you're that's already greenlit. That movie star has his own team of writers. Almost all of them do.
Really?
And then they come in and they do a pass of the script. And
so
the
they take your script and then they change it for that actor.
Of course. And the agenda of that team of writers is not the movie at all. It's the actor.
It's the movie star.
So if this movie star wants to be a heavyweight boxer, even though the movie's set in space, like they come in and they put in a through line about this heavyweight boxer training. They don't care about the big picture.
Wow.
They care about the star.
These stories, I can't help but ask myself, how was Herbie Fully Loaded still so good with all this?
It's a miracle. It's like the Avengers.
You know,
it was a miracle.
It was a miracle.
That was a really wonderful time in our lives. Lindsay had just blossomed.
We are talking about, I hope you got it before she was diseased.
We saw the rough cut before they toned down the jiggle.
Yes.
Really?
They darkened the jiggle.
And one day the truth will be told.
Yes.
That's not right.
She climbs into the car once, and there's a panty flash, which they took out in post.
Why would they?
And it's like, ho, gee, Jiminy Crickets.
We both jumped in our seats. We almost Fred Willard did
this.
Right there on the spot.
We almost Fred the Willard did
I don't know how you did. Not sure that's a verb yet.
It's
writing to beast for fun and profit, how we made $1 billion at the box office, and you can too. Thomas Lennon and Ben Garrett in studio. I have to ask you this before we let you go, and that is, there are a lot of people, particularly in this town, who think they have the idea and they can write a script and they want to make it.
Do it.
How as a novice, a guy with no connections, how do you even get started? Most people won't read unsolicited material.
That's true. But the gateway is actually easier than it's ever been.
Yes.
No one will read scripts. No, people don't read scripts, as we point out
in the book. Wait. The gateway is more open than it's ever been, and no one will read scripts.
No one will read scripts. People don't read scripts that they pay for.
How do those two things?
The internet. Like through Funny or Die, College Humor.
There's a million. YouTube.
Put up every agency and every movie studio has an entire wing of little interns in the basement whose job is to look for funny stuff on the internet.
Just look for creativity.
And they bring in people all the time. We have tons of friends.
We've been pitched. People have pitched us. Yes. They've bought the rights to, you know, the guy with the talking German Shepherd online?
Yeah. I want something for print.
They've optioned that for a million.
Yes.
So like, the little
talking baby.
By the way, and that's a brilliant little movie that guy made.
It's great.
It's really clever. And he got worldwide attention from it. Be clever. There's something online. It doesn't need to be funny. You could make a short horror film. You could make
little funny sketch.
Anything that's really well done and shows that you've got talent.
How long? 30 seconds?
Keep it short.
Doesn't matter.
People are watching it at work, so keep it short.
As long as it's on the internet.
Yeah, as long as it's good. But people bring in and then have scripts ready for when you have that meeting.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of scripts, and probably no one will ever make any of the scripts that you wrote for spec. They're going to make you write the movie where Martin Lawrence is transformed into a chipmunk.
Oh, so they'll turn down all your ideas, but then they'll give you another one.
And keep in mind, they already own
every book that's ever written.
Every book.
Like, literally, the studios own. I mean, they option everything.
Yeah.
So they've got to get the stuff off their books. They've like, if you come in with your script and your script is even kind of good, or your short is pretty good, they will want you to take a crack at one of the 200 things that they own that they can't figure out what to do with.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. But the internet, the door's open. It's not impossible to get through to the decision makers now because the internet is a wide open
door. Hey, look, that's why we have South Park 15 seasons later.
Absolutely.
Because a funny video
spirit
got on the internet.
Spirit of Christmas.
Exactly what you're talking about.
4 minute short.
No joke, guys. You guys are very, very funny. I'm so glad you came in. But this book is necessary. This book has not been written before, How to Navigate Hollywood as a Screenwriter, right? I mean, it really sounds like
you've
really cracked
it. No one who knows anything about it has written one. We looked at all the screenwriting books, and combined between all the other ones, between Story by Robert McKee, Save the Cat, all of them, they combined to have half of one credit on one movie.
Yes.
All of the authors.
And I believe it's Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
It is.
are you talking about the experts that give those?
Really?
Because if you are a screenwriter, why would you write a book? Come
Which
on.
We found
right. Books. Mm. There's no money in books.
I should point out.
Say the guys who just wrote a book.
I should point out, the title of our book is super obnoxious. The cover is super obnoxious with the hot naked girls and the bling and stuff. Look it up if you haven't, by the way.
Yeah.
We actually
write movies for fun and profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and you can too. By the way, I have the $1 billion idea. I just need to wait 2 years to reboot the Batman franchise. I figure they'll be due by about then.
There'll be some new kid. Yeah.
And you can meet the authors of this book. They'll be talking about their writing movies for fun and profit book and also signing copies at Vroman's Bookstore, East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena. That's going to be tomorrow at 4. Will you be wearing the short shorts, and do a lot of people who show up to meet you wear the short shorts?
A, yes. B, they're always on underneath in case of an emergency.
and all of the profits for the book, all of the profits go to the USO.
That's not a joke.
It seems like we're jerks,
and we're kind of jerks, but all the money from the book goes to the USO. So.
Yeah. How about that?
Fantastic.
Right.
So thank you, gentlemen.
Pretty much.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Black Keys. K-Rock.
Good morning. Test, test, test. Hey, people. Hey, you guys. It's us. He's Kevin. He's Bean. What do you guys think of the Red Bull Soundspace at K-Rock so far? Yeah, there's no one in this room, Kevin, that is more than 25 feet away from our guests of honor today.
That's true. So no spitting. No sweating, especially you, dude. Especially you. You're very sweaty. Please move away.
We're very excited to welcome our latest guest to the Breakfast With series and also the Red Bull Soundspace here at K-Rock from Akron, Ohio. Give it up for the Black Keys. That is great. Come on with the come on. Morning, you guys. Can you hear us? How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Welcome. So, a little smaller room than Staples Center this weekend, I guess. But you guys play all sorts of gigs. You play rooms this size from time to time still, right?
Yeah, every once in a while we play a place like this. Yeah, for sure.
Gets very hot, gets very sweaty. We're going to see some of that here this morning?
I hope so.
We're all going to need another shower after this. Tonight, tomorrow night, Staples Center, Monday, Honda Center. This is a real treat to be in this limited audience with one of the biggest rock bands in the world. The Black Keys are here. We're going to be taking your questions throughout the morning. We've got a few of our own. And the boys are going to be playing, and I think we're going to get started with some music right now.
about that? That's ridiculous. That just happened. The Black Keys were having breakfast. We'll be right back on the world famous K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show's Breakfast with the Black Keys.
The world famous K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys here on the world famous K-Rock. If you're just tuning in, you're going to be very sad to know what you missed, because two unbelievable performances from the band here to get us going. Welcome, you guys. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having us.
You know, I was thinking about you guys today earlier as we were preparing for this, and I was thinking a kind of band that plays the music that you play can't expect success, right? Nobody goes and plays the kind of music you play and go, oh, this is going to set the world on fire. Every day must be a surprise for you as to how popular you are.
Yeah, it is. It's every year, something crazy, just crazier happens every week, really.
But not the first 5 years. That was a bit of a grind, right?
I don't understand what's not commercial about our piano-driven Christmas music.
I just saw an interview of you guys about your first gig where you made $10. Would you mind telling us that? Because, wouldn't you rather get nothing?
Well, no, we made nothing the second gig.
Yeah, oh, okay.
They said you guys did great, and they handed us $10, and they gave us a gig 2 weeks later, and we came back, and we played that one, and we didn't get paid anything.
Were you worse, or what happened? Why did you not get the $10?
I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
There was no one there, that's why.
Oh, okay. What keeps you going in the early years when you're making the records in your basement and you're playing to small crowds, and it's got to be tough sledding, and I'm sure at that point you still have the pressure from friends and family saying, seriously, guys, it's a nice hobby, but get a job, right? What's the motivation to keep going back then?
Rent.
Rent?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we both dropped out of school, and we didn't really have any other options other than to play music.
Yeah, I mean, the small amount of money that we were making was better than making the same amount of money working at, like, McDonald's, you know?
Sure. At least you were doing something you enjoyed.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
These moments that surprise you, I mean, when you win Grammys and when you're on the cover of Rolling Stone and when you're selling out Madison Square Garden, you just call each other up and go, you're not going to believe what just happened.
I mean, it's strange. This year's been strange.
Yeah. We don't really... It's hard to even talk. I mean, we were just on stage with Neil Young last week in Central Park. I mean, it's something like that happens every... It's just crazy. At this point, we don't really know. It feel like we're on an alternate universe or something.
How did the gig go with Neil Young? That must have been a fantastic opportunity for you guys.
It was cool. He came in and he said, you guys sounded great from my hotel room. He was in his hotel room while we were playing.
While that was happening, I was on stage with Wilford Brimley way downtown.
Yeah. You did jump on stage for the encore, though, right? You're actually on a stage playing with Neil Young for Rockin' the Free World, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. He stepped on my foot while he was soloing.
Oh, there you go. But he can do that, right?
He had tennis shoes on. It didn't hurt.
Plus, he's Neil Young.
And he's Neil Young also.
What are you going to say? I know that you guys are also friends with Billy Gibbons, the great Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. Do you just hope to run into these people, or are you the type who would call somebody that you're a fan of and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'd love to meet you?
No, I don't think we'd ever do that. Maybe Jared from Subway, we might call him.
We ran into him in the airport, though, so we didn't have to call him.
Yeah. You ran into him in an airport?
Oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah, we met him.
He had a Virginia Tech sweatshirt on, remember that?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech fan.
Black Keys are here. We're doing breakfast on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. We're getting to your questions here in just a few minutes. News announced just this week is that you're going to be headlining the Lollapaloozas down in South America.
Yeah.
Chile and Brazil, is that right?
Chile's and Brazil, yeah.
Chile's.
And
have you done any foreign Lollapaloozas before, and are they any different from ours?
We've never played in South America before.
Oh, wow.
It'll be our
never.
First time. Yeah, we play Mexico City in a couple of weeks. It's going to be our first show ever south of the border.
And I hope you'll be translating all of your songs in Espanol.
Sí.
Good enough. Fantastic. How about some more music? Anybody? Let's hear some more music from the Black Keys. We are doing Breakfast on the World Famous K-Rock.
are doing Breakfast with the Black Keys. We will be right back on the world famous K-Rock.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Breakfast with the Black Keys. Welcome everybody tuning in on the world famous K-Rock and those who are listening and watching around the world today. Turns out the Black Keys have fans on every continent and everybody is streaming this and watching it at krock.com right now. So it's a real treat to have these guys in the studio. We got a bunch more questions, including some from the audience. Dave, why don't we start with some of our listeners that are here who wrote down their questions for the Keys. Who do you got?
Sounds good. I got Darcy here.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Darcy.
Hello.
My first question for you is, how did it feel the first time you heard your song on K-Rock?
That was
Rental Car.
We were in town for the Grammys 2 years ago. That's when we heard it first time.
Yeah, that's right.
What a memory. Well done, Pat. How about the first time you ever heard any of your songs on any radio station?
Well, the first time I ever heard a song of ours was we were driving through the middle of Oregon, middle of nowhere, and Your Touch came on. And it lasted like maybe 10 seconds, and then I kind of... I'm still not sure if I actually heard it or not. Why it was playing there.
It was fading out. It was done.
I guess we were really popular in Klamath Falls for a while, early on.
Are they still with you or have you lost them?
We lost them.
Sad. All right. Great question, Darcy. Who's next, Dave?
We got Joe. How's it going?
Hey.
Which superhero would you guys fight and what would your villain name be?
We didn't prepare. We didn't prepare for this.
You could kill with the power of rock.
What's that?
You could kill with the power of rock. You've got that at your fingertips.
I don't. Yeah, maybe Plastic Man. Because
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Hey, he wasn't prepared.
Hey, that's a Fantastic Four guy. He was just like an old guy that could stretch his arms.
It's Elastic Dude, Stretch Man. What's his name?
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. All right.
90% recycled.
Mr. Fantastic. Oh, okay. Whoops.
There you go.
Oh, we had the...
It's Plastic Man.
We had the bootleg comics. They were
See, there you
Plastic
go.
Man where I grew up.
They have the cooler version. Yeah. Thank you for the question. Let me ask a couple questions about El Camino, which was the most recent Black Keys record that came out, about 10 months ago or so. We gave away the vehicle on the front of that album cover, the famous touring van for the Black Keys here at K-Rock. We gave that away a few months ago.
Yep.
I want to hear a little bit about the history of that vehicle. How many miles did it have on it, if you remember, when you guys gave it up?
I think it had 178,000. And when we bought it, it had...
12,000. And 12,000 we bought it.
And you had all your equipment in it.
I think it had like 60,000. We put like 120,000 miles on it.
Now, did you guys... was it a small enough operation that it was the two of you guys and maybe a couple of other guys in a van driving across the country?
It was just the two of us.
Just the two of you?
For how long?
Yeah, for a year and a half, maybe, and Pat's brother would come along with us every once in a while just to
not be able to get into
to
the shows.
To not help us at all.
Yeah, no.
Was he too young to get in?
Yeah, he wasn't old enough to get into some of the shows.
Yeah, he just hung out outside like the Casbah and got made fun of in San Diego.
For some reason, he knew more people in cities than we did. Yeah. He had more friends than we did.
Was there sleeping in the van?
Yeah.
All the time.
So the van was the hotel room?
The van was the hotel, and we'd sleep in rest areas, which are awesome.
Really they're very safe. Nice.
Yeah, we would make
just
like
two dudes hanging out in rest areas.
Nothing suspicious about that at all.
I have seen some weird stuff at rest areas.
Yeah,
by the way,
got really scared one time going into the bathroom.
What happened, Pat?
I can't talk about
what
it.
What happened?
You brought it up.
Seriously, I really got scared.
What happened?
Okay, my brother Mike and I actually walked in and Dan was asleep, and there was a guy walking out.
Yeah.
Who looked really kind of scary.
Right.
And then there was a guy in there with his pants down.
Okay.
That's what we thought.
I think I see.
Who asked? I told you.
See, who says it's not glamorous being a rock star?
That's right.
Right? Did you guys hate Michael Bublé because he kept that album out of number one?
That's not the only reason, but...
But it makes him a dick, though, right?
It's one of them.
That was definitely a bummer.
Black Keys are here. We're having breakfast with the band here on the world famous K-Rock. Don't forget they're playing the Staples Center tonight. Tegan and Sarah opening. Same show tomorrow night at Staples Center. I hear there may still be a few seats available for tomorrow night's show if you want to see the Black Keys do their full set on a big stage. And then Monday at the Honda Center. You guys want some more music?
Yeah!
Let's do it.
Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Thank you.
please put me back on the line. I told my girl I'd be back. Operator, please, this is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be the voices calling me? They get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind. Let you down when I wanna go to a place I can hide. Well, you know me, I had plans, but they just disappear to the back of my mind.
How you want to start your day right there. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys. More in a minute on the world-famous K-Rock.
This is the world-famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Black Keys.
We are back. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys here on the world-famous K-Rock and K-Rock.com. Again, Staples Center tonight, tomorrow night, Honda Center on Monday. Dave, the King of Mexico, in the audience with more listeners, with more questions, because that's what we do in the Breakfast Series.
I got Brianna here.
First of all, before Brianna, guy without the shirt. No one gave you permission to take off the shirt. Seriously.
That's our manager.
That's your manager? It doesn't matter. Put on your shirt. All right.
I got Brianna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Where's your favorite place to play, and what's the best show you've had?
I don't know. We played a show in Portland, Maine this year. I think that was our best show of the year.
That was the best show.
Yeah.
The best show is the audience. Wherever the audience is the best. It doesn't matter where we are. But we played Portland, Maine, and they were just like, I don't know, they were going ape bananas.
They were
crazy.
Really bored this winter, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have the other part of Brandon's question? Are there some venues that you hit from time to time around the country that you're just excited to play? Like, some people love Red Rock, some people love, stadiums. What? Any particular one you like?
Well, we are excited about playing Chili's coming up.
It's Chili's. I think it is Chili, the country.
Well, it's cool. We're playing at a Staples this weekend. This
cool. I think that's Staples Center. Might be confused.
We're playing Office Max next weekend.
All right, Dave, who's next, please?
I got KC here.
Just to follow up on that, one of the places I love seeing shows is Santa Barbara Bowl, and that show the other night was incredible. So
Thank you.
My question is, how is working with Danger Mouse influenced sort of the sound of your music?
Well, I mean, he was the first person we ever let in with us in the studio and trusted completely, so... he's just like having a third person that we trust in the room to bounce ideas off of. I don't know. I mean, we're all growing and changing every year that we make a record, and it was just great having him around, and because we respect him and we trust his taste so much. He's a great guy too.
The house, Patrick, that where you guys made the first few records in the basement, is that still your folks' house? They still live there?
No, that was a rental house that...
It was a rental?
I lived in, yeah.
They put a plaque up or anything like that? Or do the people living in it now even know about it? It's part in rock and roll history?
I think it's for sale for about $8,000 right now, if anybody's interested.
It was $7,000 before they found out you guys made the album.
Yeah, right. Actually, it was $9,000.
Went down $1,000?
was that a tough decision to... I mean, you weren't giving up control. You still had veto, but was it something you guys talked about a lot? As, hey, do we even want to bring somebody else in on this? Because it seems to be working.
Up until that point, we'd never had anyone else play on a record. We'd never used to produce. We'd never actually recorded in a proper studio. And so when we made Attack and Release, we just decided to try all those things at once. And I think it was really good for us in the end. Brian was the right guy for us because we got along and it just worked great.
Speaking of other musicians, would you introduce the talented guys that are here with you today?
Yeah, this is our friend Gus on the bass here.
Hey Gus.
John's playing the keyboards and the guitar here.
You guys sound great. And I guess there's already talk of another new Black Keys record as early as next year, 2013. And that's something you'll work with Danger Mouse again on, I understand, right?
Deadmau5.
Right. Deadmau5?
No, I don't know. We're gonna start on our own, and see what happens. Just kind of see what we come up with. Just the two of us, which is how we've done most of our albums.
Sure.
The two of you talk about recording an album. It sounds like an afternoon's work. It sounds like, I think at one point you said you can do a song a day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why has that become crazy?
Because no one else does that.
It takes 5 days for our engineers to auto-tune it.
and then Bieber's got to email you his vocals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't think anyone else can write that fast. I just don't think they physically can.
You literally have recorded an entire album in a day, though. I mean, you understand that's not the norm, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Listen, we're happy to have new Black Keys albums anytime we can.
Anytime. Once a week, it's fine.
The Sonics recorded their records in a day.
Sure. It can be done. Yeah. Do you guys have to stop what you're doing and then start writing songs, or have you been compiling little ideas for songs along the way this whole year?
Our brains kind of shut down when we're on tour. So
so you're going to have to, at some point, call the tour, because you'd be able to tour forever if you wanted to.
Yeah, we have to like plan for it and really block out some time. And a lot of people we hear like write when they're on doing sound check and stuff like that, but we can't do that. We like to be completely isolated, and we just don't like messing up in front of people. We're really insecure.
You don't want them to see your mistakes?
Yeah.
It's also really emotional for us when we're writing music, so there's a lot of Kleenex.
A lot of crying?
Yeah, a lot of crying.
Sure, who doesn't believe a word out of
like
Pat's
I'm
mouth
sweating,
all day?
I'm crying.
You do have a blush there.
It's just not sweat. It's
one tears. More question from the audience, King. Who's next?
We got Melissa.
This question is for Patrick. Does your son really smell like ranch dressing?
My son smells like nothing because it doesn't exist. I don't have it. I don't have a
But the kid in the video, he's got that ranch dressing scent.
My whole family smells like ranch dressing.
So if you had a kid, he would smell like that.
Actually, no. I wouldn't let him eat that stuff. I'd make him eat like cheese puffs and stuff to
help
get some protein in him.
Healthy diet.
You're the right guy. You're the right guy. By the way, congratulations, Patrick, newlywed just a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Well done. I'm not sure my wife would have thought I was taking it seriously if I had MacGruber doing the ceremony, but it worked for you. So Will Forte did the ceremony, right?
That's right.
That's awesome.
I know.
Super fun.
It was.
Black Keys are here. It's breakfast here on the Kevin DeBean Show on the world famous K-Rock. I think that we got time for a couple more songs. What do you guys think?
It is breakfast with the Black Keys. We'll be right back.
Come on. Come on. Thank you to the Black Keys. Thank you to Red Bull for sponsoring us today in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Thanks to you for coming out. Thank you, guys.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We introduced our audience, Kevin, while you were out last week to Gillionaire, our favorite new rapper. He's a YouTube sensation. And
isn't it Gillionaire?
Not according to him.
Not according to him.
But a lot of things are really not pronounced or spelled the way you might expect them, according to him.
Right.
He is so gangsta that he tatted, this is his quote now from the OC Weekly, "I tatted G-W-A-S across my chest, that swag in reverse, so the hoes can see that ish in their rearview mirrors." That's how gangsta this guy is. In fact,
wow.
he's so gangsta that he uses the sound of rifles as a beat. That's how tough he is.
It's the hardest beat. This is the hardest beat anybody's ever heard. It's made out of gunshots. Gunshots on a beat.
Listen to how excited he is here about his beats. Check this out.
What's over here harder than that? About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts. About to make these rifles burst. Taking off our shirts.
So that's one of the clip from his big show called Rifles Burst.
By the way, that may be Rifles Burst making the beat, but I've heard a gazillion beats that are better than that.
Yes.
It may be guns, but it's a weak beat.
I don't think that he does any instruments at all. I think he makes all of his sounds in the rest of his songs with his own mouth.
Oh, okay.
For instance, this one, he's doing his own background. This is the international sensation called I'm Da Bess, and that's spelled I'M DA BES. I'm Da Bess. Here's Gillionaire. This is one you're going to get stuck in your head, too.
Yeah.
Throughout the day. Can't help it.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best.
Wow.
I'm the best.
Put a lot of work in the lyrics.
I'm the best. I'm the best.
I love the guy who, I guess it's him, overdubbing, going, swag, 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 swag.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and he does it again. And we did put this video up for I'm the Best at KevinAbean.com or KROQ.com on Friday morning show.
Ringtone!
If you want it. Yeah, no kidding, right? Well, let's hear some of the lyrics why Gillionaire is the best.
Standing on a car, finger in the air. With some women's with my fingers in their head.
Sweat, 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 sweat.
Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it. I got the highest score in the world on my SAT. And then I went to Everest to learn how to slang them trees.
Now, we had a little bit of debate on Friday as to why he would be going to Everest to slang some trees. Apparently, Everest, the highest place in the world slanging some trees, is smoking the most dope.
I see. I can guarantee this guy's joking. He has to be joking.
Really? I want him to be real so much.
I do, too. But do you think he got the highest scores on the SATs?
No, oh,
but
no,
I don't think
no,
he's
no.
just lying.
Yeah. I don't think rappers do half the things all that right, they brag okay. about in their songs. But really, you think he's fake? You think he's like clowning on other rap videos?
He may be. It's too bad. I mean, it's so
good.
Bad. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's so bad that it's good, and I want him to be real. All right, I'm with you. I'm going to take for granted he's real.
Okay.
I so want
him to be
real. Because
I want him to be.
Here's some more Gillionaire.
I don't have to count to know I'm worth a billion. You know what bigger number. I am worth a gillion. I'm the best at watching 1990s videos. Power Rangers, all that Keen and Kill, all here we go.
Now, are we at the point of bragging in the hip-hop community now where if you can watch 90s videos better than anyone else,
yeah.
that's considered a feather in your cap?
Oh, that guy rules because of it. I watched a lot of 90s videos while I was on vacation, but nowhere near Gillionaire.
No, he smokes you, man. He's the best.
I'm the best at making beats. That's right, my voice the track. And my swag is off the charts. That's a fact. I'm the best.
All right, here's the hook again.
I'm the best.
Yeah.
I'm the best. My car moved when
really?
I ain't driving it. My carpool, it's got a slide in it.
All right, I got to give it up for my carpool has got a slide in it. Because that's
Come
not
on.
The kind of pool that has
Woo!
A slide.
What?
That's clever, right?
At the target range, scoring all the headshots. Teabagging y'all, Lipton's on the rocks. Went to Maury and he said that baby ain't mine. just for lying, I threw the jump skank on top of a man.
Okay, so he's on Maury, and he finds out the kid isn't his. So what does he do? He throws the dumb skank onto a mine. What he's done, what Gillionaire has done, and please, kids, if you're thinking of making it in rap videos, please pay attention very close to this. He has rhymed mine with mine, ladies and gentlemen.
He did
That's
do mine and mine.
There.
Yeah.
You got to go to krock.com or kevinamine.com. You really haven't gotten the full Gillionaire experience unless you have seen the video. But trust me when I tell you this, I'm the best is going to be stuck in your head today, and you're welcome.
So Twinkies have gone under. What a disaster that is.
It's very sad.
The Baker's Union strike made the company close down,
yeah,
claim bankruptcy, no longer making Twinkies. People buying them, selling them on eBay. I'm worried about its younger brother, the Ho-Ho. Come on now. People are not upset enough about the Ho-Ho. But there are a bunch of people who are talking about buying this company and then reviving it and start to making it again. And one of the biggest is Bimbo. Have you ever heard of Bimbo?
I have. Bimbo Foods. Yeah, I have.
It's the world's largest bread baking firm from Mexico.
I've seen it on the side of trucks before in Mexico.
No. I've seen it on the front of soccer jerseys. And since I'm a perpetual 13-year-old boy, it always cracked me up.
Right.
They're sponsored by Bimbo. But they apparently are the leader, and they're going to try and buy this company out so that they can start making Twinkies.
That would be great.
So I had Dave, the King of Mexico, get us a spokesman from Bimbo down in Mexico to talk to about this particular story. Good morning.
Hey, what's up? Thank you for calling Bimbo Foods, dog. This is Rudy Cisneros in Marketing and Research. How can I help you, dog?
Rudy?
You're our Rudy?
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
What's up?
And Lisa,
hey,
how you?
Hey, what's uppers?
How you doing?
Oh, dog, I'm living the life, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Bimbo Foods, they contacted me, dog, because, you know, they're thinking about taking over, like, a hostess or whatever. You
right.
Know? So what if so you...
They needed, like, someone who's an American but had, like, understood, you know, like, Mexican needs, you know, so that I could do, like, research and marketing, you know, to help, like get their products to be more fitting to, like, a new audience.
You're telling me that Bimbo, the world's largest baker... contacted you, Rudy Cisneros.
That's right, dog. I was confused, dog, because, like, my ex-hina, we used to call her Bimbo. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Sure.
All the homeboys slamming, you know, in the neighborhood.
Right.
No, they're like, hey, dog, we make bread and pastries, whatever, and then you could come down here and help us out because, like, you know, like, what's popular on the streets, you know what I'm saying, with, like, Mexican homeboys and hainas, you know, up in L.A. So, like, I'm down here, and like, we're really excited about all the stuff going down, you know? Like, Mexican communities, Hispanic communities, like, they're the biggest consumers of practically everything right now, you know what I'm saying? Because of, like, population, whatever.
Right. Right, sure.
So, like, I mean, there's a lot we can do. I mean, you know, like, for instance, let me tell you something. I know, for instance, like, me and my homeboys, we like stuff that, like, is useful in many ways, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have, like, a Swiss Army knife, you could use it to, like, get cable TV or, like, you know what I'm saying? If you, like, have a toothpaste tube, you can make it into, like, a shank, you know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
I figured, like, how about we do that with, like, some of the pastries, dog? So we have, like, the Menudo muffin. What
ugh.
Do you think about that?
Ugh.
A muffin. And it's delicious. It's made from, like, tripe, you know, like cow stomach.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And cilantro. But it helps you with your, you know what I'm saying? You get a delicious, like, pastry, but then you have no more hangover. And then also, dog, I was thinking, like, you know the ding-dongs, fool?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We'll make them out of denim.
Make ding-dongs out of denim?
It's true, because, like, they'll be, like, delicious cream-filled ding-dongs, but then you can wear them. You can crease them, too, you know what I'm saying? You go swimming in them, you know, because they're denim.
So you have to unwrap. You have to unwrap it now, the ding-dong?
Whatever, dog. But,
just
like,
eat
how
it?
I like the listen to this for $2.99.
Have you run any of these ideas by Bimbo?
We're already producing them, fool. I'm looking at it right now. Like, I'm sitting at my desk. I got all these ideas busting out my dome.
Okay.
How about the lock-up loaf? You know what I'm saying? You go, you know what I'm saying? You get caught on a case. You know what I'm saying? The police, they lock you up.
Right.
And then, like, you buy one of our 6-ounce soft, chewy loaves of Hawaiian sweetbread, but inside there's a nail file. Fool. You know what I'm saying? Help you out. You're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, sand something down, maybe butt yourself out.
Sure.
Lisa May.
Yeah.
Don't think I haven't been thinking about the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Check this out. It's called the eye brownies.
That sounds promising.
They're not only delicious brownie bits, but they can also draw your eyebrows on your face, take care of all your cosmetic needs.
That is brilliant.
All right. You know what I'm saying? I found out also that Dodger Stadium, dog, attendance is up 75% when they give away bobbleheads at the door. That tells me, you know what I'm saying? Mexicans love to get free stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought about, how about the Quinceanera cupcake?
The Quinceanera cupcake.
It's a pink and white cupcake, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Maybe good for your Quinceanera, and it comes with a baby. Dog, we got babies, crazy babies up here in Mexico. It was cool, right in the package. You open a brand new baby, right?
Wait, you're going to wrap them in the package?
Throw them in there, dog. You know, put some milk, whatever, goat milk. I don't know what you got. You know what I'm saying?
Hopefully. You're not making that one yet, are you?
99 cents, dog. It's already in the wrapper. I'm looking at a baby. I'm eating right now. My favorite, dog, you know, honestly, I think, like, the one I put most, you know, use in trying it out and really making sure that it's perfect for the market.
Right.
It's the traditional Twinkie, dog, but it's I call it the Kinky Twinkie.
The Kinky Twinkie.
So
I'm afraid to ask.
Delicious classic Twinkie.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But instead of putting cream filling, we put a latex rubber tube in the middle. So if your hyena's not giving you none, not paying you no attention.
Come on.
You should take care of yourself right there. You've got your own cream filling, fool. What?
Rudy.
Oh, that's...
Twinkie, Twinkie, dog. You don't say, hey.
Rudy.
You all had long nights, fool.
We got to go.
Yeah, those.
Go Raiders, dog.
You, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Question, but seriously, why are the Black Keys so good? I mean, really.
Your question is, why are the Black Keys so good?
Yes.
I don't know, except for that they are.
They certainly are. Right. Linkin Park on the way, also Red Hot Chili Peppers and the Naked and the Famous, their awesome song, Young Blood, this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, many times back when K-Rock used to be over in Burbank, we ate at this McDonald's that's in the news right now, that one down on Olive Avenue. In fact, I believe... Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that's the McDonald's we were at where Lightning fell asleep at lunch one day, and we drove away and left him there. And he had to walk back to the radio station.
He was asleep. We were like, everybody sneak out, get in the car.
I'll be the best.
He fell asleep at lunch. Well, this McDonald's in Burbank is in the news because there was a woman named Khadija Basir, who I'm sure is lovely, and she was going through the drive-thru line, opening customers' car doors, and saying, hey, if you'll pick me up some chicken McNuggets, I'll exchange that for some sexual favors. And it doesn't say whether she had any takers or not.
The last line of the article says, a man told police Basir approached him, but he refused the offer.
Wow.
Really?
She must have been hideous, because a McNugget.
What does that cost?
Yeah, right.
It's a couple of bucks.
It's got to be no more than $2 for McNuggets, right?
Right.
And she was offering sexy time for McNuggets.
But she didn't have a car. She would walk up to people who were already in the drive-thru line, and she would just kind of knock on the door and open it and go, hey, sex for a McNugget?
Yeah.
Which is not what you expect.
We saw the story. We started thinking, you know, sex is a currency that's been around even longer than actual currency. I mean, before there were gold coins, before there were dollar bills, let's face it, there was sex for something, right? And I bet our listeners have stories, and I don't know that we've ever done this phone topic before, but I think it would be fascinating. Even if you didn't follow through with it, it would be fascinating to hear what the offer was. Like, I will have sex with you if you fill in the blank.
Right.
I'm sure there's officers of the law who have been offered people. But, yeah, just normal people as well, you know. Maybe they just don't have money for something, or they offer you sex for, it seems to me like the line is well above a McNugget, though.
I would hope so.
Like, I'd do a quarter pounder. Yeah. I'd buy that person
and
a quarter pounder.
And fries.
Yes.
I would think, yeah. Usually it's sex for drugs, right? That's the typical.
I would think so.
Typical thing.
So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. If you or your friends or somebody that you know has been offered sex in return for something, we're guessing it's going to be bigger than the McNugget. Probably nothing smaller.
You know, you do make a good point about the McNuggets. Like, why go for something so small? Why not just ask for $20? That way you can buy your own McNuggets and still have $18 left over. Why just do a straight-up trade for the McNuggets? You're right. She's not a very good businesswoman. That's all there is to it.
Well, what I'm guessing is ugly.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Possibly, yeah.
Super ugly. The dude said no, and it was a McNugget.
Here's an email to get us going, and this is from a listener who, this was an offer for sex with her own partner, which I hadn't even thought about.
Oh.
Good morning, party people. I won't be able to call in, but I heard you mention the day that the topic was going to be things you traded sex for. Well, this past weekend, my girlfriend noticed that I had not put my car tags on. I told her I didn't want to because there's a spider living under my license plate frame. Yes, I'm a lesbian. Give me a break. Spiders are gross.
So I offered her sex to put them on for me. She was outside like a bolt of lightning. Joke's on me, though, because afterwards she told me that what I thought were spider legs moving around was just dead grass stuck under the plate frame.
Oh, my God.
But this does pretty much sound like a win-win for this happy couple, though. He got, you know, she got her license plate frames on, and she had some sex, and, you know, vice versa. So
I guess so, but just putting the sticker on is, that's the McNugget of... of car maintenance.
It truly is.
It really is about as small as you can do. Well, those people just wanted to have sex.
But it is like a 3-second job to put your tags on.
But I would like to suggest, and I think we'll get enough calls if we do it this way, a stranger.
Yes? Okay.
I think a stranger is much more impressive because they don't know you, and yet they're offering you sex for a McNugget, or they're offering you sex for whatever it happens to be. Maybe you work at a hotel and they want a room, or who knows?
That's a good point.
Who knows what kind of fix their car?
Right, it doesn't run. Okay.
I was thinking rent is the one that I was thinking that, you know, if you're rent. Out of money, you can't afford the rent. That's what you're offering. You know, it's unfortunate because I've tried to offer sex for almost everything I bought for the last 5 years. No. And I can't get a taker. I'll go into Best Buy and I'll say, hey, how about sex for this iPod? And they go, nope.
I'm guessing this is mostly a woman thing.
I'm guessing you're right.
As women can offer that and men will take it for any reason.
Right.
But, all right. But in this particular case with the McNuggets.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number here at the World Famous K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067. What have you been offered sex in exchange for? Who can we go to? I'm having trouble seeing these lines.
We can go to Mark, as a matter of fact. Let's start with him. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa Maid. How are you?
Good.
Very good, thank you.
Yes, I was in law school, first year, failing miserably on a class, which you need to go on, and the tutor decided that I guess I was the chosen one, and if I would have sex with her, she would pass me. And
No kidding!
Yeah.
And you did, and she did?
Yes, and she condemned me to a miserable life of being an attorney, but what can you say?
You got what you wanted.
Got what I wanted.
Was she hot?
No, heck no.
Oh, really? Now that's interesting. So was there was it a difficult decision for you to make to decide to go ahead and do it?
It took all of about the time I figured that I had no chance of passing without that, and that was it.
Wow. So, isn't that interesting? So you were practically blackmailed for sex.
Well, I would just say that I don't think I was the first one that she's done that to, but since when you have no option, that is the best option you can choose.
Let me get this straight, if you don't mind. This was your first year of law school?
First semester, actually.
First semester. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the easiest stuff?
Yeah.
No, actually, when you go to law school, they say, look to the person to the right, look to the person on the left. At the end of this year, they won't be there. So they try to get you out the first year to kind of...
Is it like the Marines? They make you drop and give you 20?
Yeah.
Trying to break your will?
I did give her 20, and I'd rather have been in the Marines.
All right. Well done. Thank you very much for the call. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Do we have time to go to line 3 real quick?
Sure.
And then we'll take a break and come back with your phone calls. You were asked to trade something for sex. They would give you sex. You would give them what? That's the question on the table.
All right. Who's this?
Mike.
Hi, Mike. Who offered you sex and for what?
Well, I was running a police impound tow yard. And a woman had her car impounded for drunk driving. She came in with her sister to try to retrieve her car. And as we walked to her car to get her personal items and her ID, she offered to trade sex for the release of her car. And when I said no, she offered her sister up. And her
was her sister hotter?
Excuse me?
Was her sister hotter?
They were both attractive in their early 20s, and neither one of them were wearing panties, and they kept flashing that and kept saying, listen, this could be yours. All you got to do is let us have the car, and no, I couldn't do it.
You couldn't do it? Were they offering you a threesome or just one or the other?
Both, but I was working for a police impound yard.
Yeah,
that would be what?
Well, he's looking at the big picture here, Kevin. That would have been
nothing. That would have been a hot sister,
right? But it would have been a fun 15 minutes. Is it worth losing your job over?
He could lie. Come on, get with the program.
All the cameras and all the people, and then trying to figure out the paper trail. That would have been worth it.
Hmm.
Gotcha. So did they cough up the $350 and got their car back, and that was it? You've regretted it ever since, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, dude. Appreciate it.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Coming up next, you're going to be introduced to a woman who, I got to look and see if she went through it or not, but she was scheduled yesterday to marry a building. So they're very deeply in love, Kevin.
Love people like this so much.
Doesn't that give you a lot of questions about the wedding night? I don't know how that works. I guess she just gets inside the building, I guess is what happens. But anyway, you'll meet her coming up here. Right now, we're talking about the woman in Burbank.
She goes inside the building, and she comes out, and then she goes inside.
Maybe so. The woman arrested in Burbank last week, she was soliciting customers in the McDonald's drive-through there on Olive Avenue. She was offering sex in exchange for McNuggets. We were talking about how, that's the currency of the world right there. Sure. What have you been offered sex for instead? We want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Robert. Robert is on line 8, classic example of what we're talking about. Robert, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
Hey, good morning, Guy. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Where were you when it happened?
I work for the body shop business, and we do test drives for the vehicles. Customer had a $1,000 deductible, and on the test drive, she offered me sexual favors, $1,000 deductible, and she's like, I'll take care of you if you just pull over.
Yes.
And?
She paid her deductible.
Nice.
Really?
Was she hideous? What's happening?
You mean everybody is turning it down? Is that what
yes.
your problem is?
I'm a pretty good-looking guy, so.
You're a good-looking guy, so you don't need that kind of attention necessarily.
I don't need that attention, but I told her she had to pay.
Oh,
well,
wow.
Listen, $1,000.
She better be pretty good.
She better be paying for a month.
Yeah. She better be freaking awesome.
That's like every Friday at noon for 2 months.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Was it awkward when she brought it up? Like, I mean, were you shocked at the time, or did it?
Yeah.
Caught me
by surprise, man. I thought I was going to hit the tree or something.
and then how did you turn her down? What did you say when you said no?
I told her, hey, you know what? It's against the law. She needs to take care of it.
Against the law? What a square, man. You're Squaresville.
Thank you for the call, Robert. By the way, if we've learned anything, it's that Kevin would trade anything you want for sex. He's not going to ever
Come
turn
on
it down.
Now. These people, like,
well,
people
I mean,
who
you're
are,
making it sound
but
like.
But I'm saying.
All right. Where do you want to go
next?
Let's go to Chris. Chris on line 4.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. Chris.
Oop, there we go. Okay. Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
My bad. Chris, tell me what you were offered sex for.
Okay, so I was in my calculus class. I'm in college, and this really cute girl comes up to me, and she goes, hey, listen, if you help me get an A in this class, I'll sleep with you at the end. I just got to cheat off you on all the tests.
All the tests? Not just one, but all of them?
All of them for the whole class. She gets an A. We hook up at the end.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
That's a huge setup, dude.
I don't buy it. She's running.
Because what happens at the end of the class when she gets her A? Okay,
there's more.
There's more. Well, she kind of started encouraging me throughout the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suck it on my ear, things like this.
Really? Suck it on your ear in class?
I'm a back row student, so, I mean, it wasn't. So we're sitting in the back, and she would do things like this. Get pretty aggressive, so I'm like, okay, she's going to follow through. So I let her cheat off me the entire class. She
gotta
gets get her
a.
A.
You got to get a down payment, dude. But go ahead.
She followed through, though.
What?
Really? Yeah.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, she followed through. I mean, I'm not a bad-looking guy, so it probably wasn't that bad of a deal for her. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Sure.
But,
that's what all guys think.
Anyways, Here's the really messed up part, which I found out afterwards. Her boyfriend sat in the row in front of us.
Oh, dude.
So he knew this was going on because she was...
He didn't have a clue.
Why didn't she just cheat off of him?
He wasn't smart.
He failed.
He's a failure.
Oh, man.
Smart guy gets the chicks.
Crazy.
All right.
So
crazy.
Weird.
Good.
All
thank
right.
you for the call.
Thank you. We got to talk to Dave. We only have time for one more, but let's let it be Dave. I mean, this is in the category of chicken McNuggets, what we're talking about, how low an item you traded
that's
sex for. Dave.
That's where we started the story, was a woman that would walk up to cars in a drive-thru and ask them to get them some chicken McNuggets, and she offered sex. All right, Dave, you have something that rivals that?
Yeah, pretty good. Okay.
basically, I work in Hollywood, and there's a lot of transvestites that kind of hang out outside of Subway Sandwich. So I went in there for lunch, and on my way out, one of them offered to give me oral pleasure for a foot-long Subway sandwich.
Yeah. Are you sure? Now, wait a minute. Are you sure there was a sandwich involved, or was he just talking about a foot-long?
The word sandwich was used.
It was so used.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. How was it?
Oh, come on, Kevin. Think of the sketchy people that are waiting outside of the Subway.